Okay, today's daf is Shabbat of Kuf Chaf Dalet. We're at the top of Kuf Chaf Dalet. Amar Aleph at the Mishnah. Kol Kelim Nitalin Letzorach Vishalo Letzorach. According to the Tanakama, all vessels may be moved, whether for their whether for a functional purpose or for no purpose at all. Rabbi Nechemia Omer Ein Nitalin Letzorach. But Rabbi Nechemia says they may only be moved for the purpose of their function. Okay, now we're going to have to define what exactly moving it for a purpose and moving it for not for a purpose is, and what exactly is the nature of the machlok between the Tanakama and Rabbi Nechemia. Gemara, my letzorach, my shalot letzorach. What does it mean, moving it for a purpose and moving it not for a purpose? Amar Rabba, letzorach, davar shemalachto leheter, letzorach gufo. So what does it mean to move something for a purpose? That's a tavar shemalachto leheter. So something that's primary function is mutter to do on Shabbat. Shalot letzorach tavar shemalachto leheter letzorach makomo. And something that and moving it not for its intended purpose is a kli that you're allowed to use on Shabbat, that you're moving it only for the place that it occupies. V'tavar shemalachto leiser letzorach gufo in letzorach makomo lo. However, when it comes to a kli shemalachto leiser, something that's primary function is us to use on Shabbat, there you're allowed to move something. There you're allowed to move it for its for using its purpose, but not for the place that it occupies. Right, that would be the Tanakama's shita. Right, meaning that the Tanakama holds that when it comes to a fork, which is klishim lachto leheter, you can move it whether you need the fork to eat or you need to move the fork because it's on a couch. However, when it comes to a hammer, let's say that is a klishim lachto leiser, if you need it to open up a nut, then you're allowed to use it because that's the tzorach gufo, even though it's klishim lachto leiser. However, if it's just sitting on a couch, then you may not move it because that's tzorach makomo. You're not moving it for a function of the hammer itself, right? And then that would be the Tanakama Shita according to Rabba. Vata Rabbi Nechemia, and then Rabbi Nechemia argues, lemeimar v'afil devar shemalachto leheter letzorach gufo in letzorach makomo lo. He says that no, even a kli shemalachto leheter, oh, you can only move it if you need to use the kli shemalachto leheter, but not just because it occupies a place. So even the fork, if it's sitting on the couch, you couldn't move. Makomo lo. Amar le Rava, and then Rava argues with Rava's understanding of this machloket. So Amar le Rava, letzorach makomo shelo letzorach garitale. Did you call something that was moved, for the purpose of the place that it occupies as not being moved for a purpose? Of course it's being moved for a purpose. It's being moved for the purpose of you needing to sit there, or you needing the place that it occupies. That's definitely letzorach. So that's not a really good precise understanding of our Mishnah. Rather, according to Rava, this is what the machloket is between the Tanakama and Rabbi Nechemia. Ela amar Rava, letzorach davar shemalachto le... Letzorech, devar shemalachto leheter, bein letzorech gufo, bein letzorech makomo. Right? So if we're talking about moving it for a purpose, right? So Tanakama says that is moving a kli shemalachto leheter, right? So like a fork, whether you need it for its function, because you're going to eat, or because it occupies a place that you need. Shelo letzorech, right? And what does it mean to move something not for any specific purpose? Afilu mecham letzel, right? For moving it from the heat to the shade, right? You don't need the place that it's in, and you don't need the truth is you don't need the fork at all. Right, but you just don't want it to be in the current place that it is. Not because you need the place, and not because you need the object. That's how we define shelo letzorach. V'davar shemalachto leiser. Okay, now what happens when it comes to a kli shemalachto leiser, like a hammer? Letzorach gufo v'letzorach makomo in mecham letzel lo. Right. However, when it comes to it can be moved again. Letzorach gufo letzorach makomo. However, when it comes to moving it from the heat to the shade, that's when you're not allowed to do it. So according to Rava, the Tanakama's shita would be like this: a fork, you can move it. You can move it in all cases, right? If a fork is needed to eat, then you can definitely move it. If it's on a couch and you want to sit there, then you can definitely move it. If it is in the heat and you think that it's going to ruin the fork, so then you can put it into the, you can move it into the shade, right? In all those cases, you're allowed to move it. However, what are the cases that you're not allowed to move it, according to the Tanakama? If it's a hammer that's melachto le'iser, then you can only move it for a purpose. So, for a purpose like you need the hammer to open a nut, or if the hammer is on the couch, still, that's letzorach makomo. You can move it so you can sit down there. And then the only case you couldn't do it is if it's mecham letzel by kli shemalachto leiser. So if you left the hammer out in the sun, you can't move it to the shade on Shabbat. And that's the Tanakama Shita. Va'ata Rabbi Nechemia lemeimar. And then Rabbi Nechemia comes in and he says as follows: Va'fil devar shemalachto leheter letzorach gufo letzorach makomo in mecham letzel lo. So Rabbi Nechemia says, no, even when it comes to a kli shemalachto leheter, like a fork, you're allowed to move it for letzorach letzorach gufo letzorach mekomo, that's fundamentally letzorach. That is moving it for a purpose. However, you may not move it from the heat to the shade, even when it comes to a kli shemalach to heter, like a fork. You can't touch it. That is the machloka between Rava and Rava. And pretty much up until the next Mishnah, we're just kind of trying to challenge each other's shitas and understand them better. Yativ Rav Safra ve Rav Acha bar Huna ve Rav Huna bar Chanina ve Yativ ve Kamri le Rabba. Okay, so those Rebbeim said to Rabba, Aliba de Rabbi Nechemia, according to Rabbi Nechemia's shita, Hani Kearo teche metaltalinon, right? Bowls left over at the end of the meals, right? They have like the scraps, the foods in them. How exactly do you move them, right? How do you clear off the table? Amar lehu Rav Safra mide dehava agerev shel rei. So Rav Safra answered to his peers who asked, according to Rabba, according to Rabbi Nechemia, how would you clear off the bowl if that's a klish melach tol heter? It's not being used lagufa olam komo. You just don't want another table, right? So that would pose a problem because he says a klish melach tol heter may not be moved. A klish melach tol heter. Sorry. That the kli shemlach leheter can only be moved if it's for a practical function, but not even lemakomo. Sorry, I said that wrong initially. Right, according to Rabba, according to Rabbi Nechemia, and so Rav Safra says, no, you know how Rabba would respond to that? Well, Rabba would just say it's like a gerif shel rei, right? It's disgusting. You don't want it there. You don't want bowls filled with food scraps on your table, and that's why it's disgusting. You're allowed to move it out of the way, but not because you would have been able to move it just by extension of it being a kli shemalach tol heter. Amar le Abaye le Rabba lemar leave the Rabbi Nechemia hani kero teichem dat leyan lehu. Amar le Rav Safra chavrin tirgam amid dehave ager Rav Shel Rei. Right, and then Abaye said to Rabba directly, and he says, according to your shita, he basically asks the exact same question: how would Rabbi Nechemia allow these bowls to be moved? And Rav Safra pipes up and says, "We already clarified this issue, and that is that we treat it like a gerev shel rei. It's like a disgusting thing. You're allowed to move it out of the way because you don't want it there, but not because it's allowed to be moved in theory by extension of the fact that it's a klish melach tol heter. Etive Abaye la Rava. Okay, now Abaye is challenging Rava's shita and his understanding of the machloket. When you have a pestle, if it has garlic in it, you're allowed to move it. If it doesn't have garlic in it, then you're not allowed to move it, right? But why would you not be allowed to move it, right? Isn't that a klish melach tol heter? Right? Because that's what we're talking about, moving it from the heat into the shade. We're not just talking about any case of kli shemalach tol heter. We're talking about mechama letzel, and it's Rabbi Nechemia Shita who believes that a kli shemalach tol heter can't be moved from the heat to the shade, even though it's a kli shemalach tol heter. Eitive, okay, another challenge. V'shavin shim kitzev alav basar shasur letalatelo. Hachanami mechama letzel. Right, but didn't they say that there's a universal agreement upon meat being cut on a large pestle that you may not move it? Yeah, but it's a kli shemalach tol heter. So why can't you move it? Because it's Rabbi Nechemia Shita, and we're talking about mechama letzel. And Rabbi Nechemia says that even a kli shemalach tol heter may not be moved from the heat to the shade. So that's how Rava answers the challenges brought against him. V'haditna, and that was done in the Mishnah. Ein somchin et hakedera bebikat v'chein bedelet. That you may not prop up a pot with a piece of scrap wood, nor may you do so for a door. V'ha bikat. But a scrap of wood on Yom Tov is a kli shemalach tol heter. So why can't you move it? Right? I get it. You're not using the wood for any particular a purpose that stems from the fact that it's a piece of wood. Right? You're just propping open a door with it. Right? It's a pretty arbitrary function of a piece of wood. But on Yom Tov, that's a kli shemalach tol heter because you can use that wood to fuel a fire. In which case, a kli shemalach tol heter should be allowed to use for all purposes. Alma davar shemalach tol heter ben letzorach gufo ben letzorach mekomo aser. Right, so we seem to learn from here that the klishim lachto leheter, this piece of wood, is not allowed to be moved for its function, nor for a place that it occupies. If you cannot use this wood to prop up, open a door. Hatam mai taima. So what Rava would respond, no, why there may you not move it? Kivan b'Shabbat devar shemalach tole iser hu gzeira yom tov adu Shabbat. Because on Shabbat, that piece of scrap wood is a kli shemalach tole iser. It can't be used for any mutter purpose, because it's generally used to fuel a fire, correct? And if it's used to fuel a fire, that can't be done on Shabbat. So even though it could be done on Yom Tov, we have a gzeira about Yom Tov, lest you get confused and come to use it on Shabbat as well. So that's not because it's a kli shemalach tole heter, which just as a rule of thumb cannot be moved around. Rather, it's because it is a kli shemalach tole heter. It should be allowed to be moved around, but only on Yom Tov. And we're concerned that if we allow it on Yom Tov, you may come to do it on Shabbat as well. V'chi tema Shabbat gufei tishdare deha davar shemalach tole iser letzorach gufo letzorach makomo. And if you want to say, well, actually, you know, why don't you just make it mutter on Shabbat also, since it's a kli shemalach tole iser, sure, but it can be moved letzorach gufo or letzorach makomo. So you should say it's mutter on Shabbat as well, and you should have no problem with Yom Tov. Hani mile hecha deika torat kli alav, right? Hecha deika torat kli alav lo. We only say that a kli shemalach tole iser can be moved letzorach gufo or letzorach makomo when it's a proper vessel, when it's a proper object of some sort, right? But if it's not, if it's a piece of scrap wood, that doesn't constitute a vessel, in which case you're not allowed to move a letzorach gufo, letzorach makomo, right? It's something that we call today muktza machmat gufo. It has no defined purpose. It's like a rock. A rock is not considered a kli. You can't just move it around without having designated it before Shabbat. Oh, but you can use it for a practical purpose. It doesn't matter. It's only something that with a defined purpose, because it's a proper functional kli. Only that you can move for letzorach gufo, letzorach makomo. Right. So if you're having a picnic and the tablecloth keeps coming up, and it's Shabbat, you can look at the rocks and you say, oh, well, normally the rocks are going to be muktzah, but here I have a very specific purpose for them. I'm going to, you know, hold down my tablecloth. No, you can't do that. A rock is not a kli. You would have had to designate that rock to hold down your tablecloth from before Shabbat, right? So it's only if something has a proper kli that you can, you know, you can use a hammer maybe, but if something doesn't have a definition as a kli, you're not allowed to move it for letzorach gufo, letzorach makomo. Umigazrina. But wait a second. Do we really hold by this that if something that wouldn't be allowed to be moved on Shabbat, we will make it usher for Yom Tov as well? Didn't we teach in the Mishnah Mashilin Perot Derech Aruba B'Yom Tov? You're allowed to throw fruit down through a window in the ceiling fruit that were drying on the roof. You're allowed to throw them down on Yom Tov if it's going to rain and they're going to be ruined. Avalo b'Shabbat. However, not b'Shabbat. But you're not allowed to do so on Shabbat, right? So clearly, I mean, if you're not allowed to do so on Shabbat, and we held that whenever you're not allowed to do something on Shabbat, you shouldn't be allowed to do it on Yom Tov so that you don't get confused, then we shouldn't have allowed you to throw the fruit down on Yom Tov either. Umi lo gazrinan? But wait a second. Are you so confident that we do not make such a gzera, that we equate all matters of Shabbat to matters of Yom Tov for the matter of these gzeras? Vatana, didn't we learn our Mishnah? Ain ben Yom Tov Shabbat ela ochel nefesh bilvad. That the only difference between Yom Tov and Shabbat is ochel nefesh, is in preparation of food. In which case, if that's the only difference, we should assume that all other differences, all other theoretical differences that may exist, we were gozer one because of the other, and we equated all things except for ochel nefesh. Clearly, we do make those gzeras. Amar Rabbi Yosef lo kasha. No, it's not difficult. Ha Rabbi Elazar ha Rabbi Yeshua. We can just explain the discrepancy here as being the difference between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua's Shita as to whether we make these gzeras from Yom Tov to Shabbat or not. Netanya, we learned the Braita, Oto vet benot shenaflu labor. So if an animal and its child falls into a pit, Rabbi Elazar, Omer, Malet, Arisho, and Almanat, Leshochto, Veshochto. Rabbi Elazar says you can take out the first one, we're talking about Yom Tov, of course, you can remove the first one in order to slaughter it, since you're allowed to slaughter on Yom Tov. And you just try to keep the second one alive in its place in the pit. But you can't pull it out on Yom Tov. Bishvil shelo yamut, right? Just try to keep it alive. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, then here comes Rabbi Yeshua and he says as follows. Ma'ale et Harishon al menat leshochto ve'enu shochto umarim umalet hasheni v'ratza zeh shochet v'ratza zeh shochet. You should pull up the second one. Pull up the first one, saying that you want to slaughter it. And then once it's already up, you can look at the second one and say, you know what, I really want to slaughter that one. Pull up the second one, and then you can slaughter either one that you want. Right? Mimai dilma adkan. Sorry, we'll just pause for a second to explain what points they're making, and they're making the point of whether or not we make gzeira stopping you from doing things on Yom Tov that you couldn't do on Shabbat because there's a financial loss involved, right? So Rabbi Yeshua clearly allows you to pull these animals up and doesn't make a gzera against doing so. Rabbi Eliezer is more limiting in his gzera. Mimai dilma ad kan lo kama Rabbi Eliezer hatam ela de afshar la parnasa aval hecha de lo afshar la parnasa lo. But that's not a good proof, because maybe the only reason that that Rabbi Eliezer did not allow you to pull up the animal from the pit is because you could keep it alive in the pit. However, where you would not be able to keep it alive in the pit, then he would allow you to. So if we're comparing the cases where by the fruit on the ceiling, there is no way to save that fruit on the roof unless you throw it down. So maybe even Rabbi Eliezer would allow you to throw it down, in which case both Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer would seem to allow you to throw it down, and therefore you cannot explain the discrepancy between whether we make such a gzeira or not by the difference between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua Shita, because even Rabbi Eliezer may allow you to do so there, throwing the fruit down from the roof, creating a clear difference between Shabbat and Yom Tov. Maybe he would allow you there because you're going to lose out financially, whereas with the animal in the pit, you may not lose out financially because you can keep it alive down there. Inami, alternatively, could say like this and arrive at the same rejection, really. Ad kan lo kama Rabbi Yeshua hatam de afshar ba'arama v'alecha de lo afshar ba'arama lo. Right, that Rabbi Yeshua only allowed you to pull up the cat, the animal that fell down there, because you're allowed to do ha'arama. You're allowed to pretend like you're doing one thing when really you're doing another thing, and by there, remove the animal, both animals rather, from the pit. However, there is no ha'arama to be performed by saving the fruit from the roof, and so maybe he wouldn't have allowed you to do so at all there. So either way, you cannot explain the you can't tell me that this gzera, which posed a problem to us, the fact that you're allowed to throw the fruit down, on Yom Tov was a problem because you're not allowed to do so on Shabbat. In which case, we had a gzera that created a distinction between Shabbat and Yom Tov, and that was an issue because we wanted to suggest that maybe we don't make any gzeras from Shabbat to Yom Tov, right? And so we wanted to explain that no, it's not really an issue. One shita says you do make such a gzera, and one shita says you do not make such a gzera. But then we explained that really Rabbi Eliezer could be having been explained that he would have allowed you to do so on Yom Tov by the throwing down fruits, and the case of the animal is not a good raya. Alternatively, Rabbi Yeshua may have said that you're not allowed to, in the case of the animals, is not a good raya, right? But either way, it's not muchach that you can learn out that there might be a machloket Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer on the matter, and still we just have this case of a gzera on Yom Tov that we do not apply over to Shabbat. Ela amar Rav Papa lo kasha habet chamai by habet Hillel. Rather explain the following. Explain the difference as to in the shitas as to whether or not we make gzeras against doing things on Yom Tov that you can't do on Shabbat as a machloket between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, right? So Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai have this very machloket as to whether we make a gzera on Yom Tov lest you come to do it on Shabbat or not. Beit Shammai Omri en motzin et akatan ve'et halulav ve'et sefer Torah l'rushut rabim. Beit Shammai says you may not take a child, a lulav, or a sefer Torah into a public domain, and that is on Yom Tov, even though in theory you should be allowed to take them out into a public domain on Yom Tov. Beit Hillel matirin, right? Beit Hillel says that you're allowed to take them out into a public domain on Yom Tov. So the halachot of Erev are very different on Yom Tov than they are on Shabbat. I don't want to get into it right now. But in theory, you should have been allowed to take out a child, a lulav, or a sefer Torah into a public domain on Yom Tov. However, Beit Shammai says that you are not allowed to. Why? Well, because he must hold that because you can't do it on Shabbat, we're going to make a gzeira about doing it on Yom Tov. Where Beit Hillel, the fact that he allows you to do such a thing, means that we treat Shabbat and Yom Tov differently. That these should be allowed on Yom Tov, even though they're not allowed on Shabbat. In which case, we can resolve the contradiction between whether or not we make such a gzeira as being a machloke Beit Hillel Beit Shammai. Okay, but you just brought me an example of Beit Shammai making a gzeira on Hotzah, that because you are allowed to do Hotzah by, because you're not allowed to do Hotzah by Shabbat, I'm gonna say that you're not allowed to do Hotzah by Yom Tov. But, is that really a good, proof for the fact that tiltul, that moving objects should be the same, that we're gonna make such a gzeira? Seemingly the gzeira by Hotzah is a stronger one to make, and the gzeira by tiltul, by moving objects, may not be as necessary. V'tiltul gufe lav mishum Hotzah, right? But one second, of course it's a good place to draw a comparison. Isn't tiltul itself a halachic creation out of a concern for Hotzah, right? The real problem with moving objects for no reason is that we're concerned that you're going to take them out of a private domain into a public domain. So we said don't move objects unnecessarily. So because tiltul is a kind of a function of Hotzah, then bringing me a proof of machloke Beit Hillel Beit Shammai from Hotzah is actually a wonderful place to learn tiltul from. So yeah, I do have a source that suggests that Beit Hillel Beit Shammai have this exact machloke as to whether or not we make a gzeira on Yom Tov because it's Aser on Shabbat, and that explains the discrepancy we saw earlier as to whether or not we make such a gzeira. The Avrav Savarla Laha de Rava, even Rav holds by that which Rava says, the Amar Rav. Because we saw that Rav says, "Ma mar shelo yganev zehu tiltul shelo tzarach." Right, the moving something so it's not stolen. That is how we define tiltul shelo tzarach. So notice that he doesn't put it in the category of tzarach makomo. Rather, moving something so it won't be stolen is an awful lot like moving something from chamalatzel. Right, moving something from the sun to the shade is sparing it from damage, and moving it because it might be stolen is sparing it from, I guess, damage in a certain sense, meaning it's stolen, it's not going to be on your property anymore. So clearly, he's much more similar to Rava. V'asur tama shaliganev, aval letzorach gufo letzorach makomo muter. Right, so he says it's aser for the sake of moving it so it's not stolen. But clearly, if it was letzorach gufo letzorach makomo for a practical use, or because it's occupying a place that you need, that would be allowed. And so Rava clearly holds a lot like Rava Shita. Eini, is that really true? Vaha Rav Kana ikla lebe Rav v'amar aitu le shuta le kahana. But didn't Rav go to Rav's house? And Rav says, bring this man a net so that he can, bring kahana a net. So that he can lay, so he can sit upon it, right? Lavla mimet devarshim lachto leisur letzarach gufo in letzarach makomo lo. That isn't he saying that you're allowed, that you're only allowed to move? Meaning, why does it say? He doesn't just say bring me a net, right? He says bring me a net so he can sit up on upon it. A net is generally used for trapping. But you're allowed to sit upon it. So maybe what Rav was saying is that bring me this klishim lachto leiser so that I can use it letzarach gufo, which is allowed, but implying that if it were only letzarach makomo, it would not be allowed. In which case, Rav seems to imply here that Ashita is you can't just bring it to me for any reason. You have to bring it to me so I can use it. Letzarach gufo, but not tzarach makomo. Hachi amar lehu. No. This is what Rav actually said. Shakolo shuta mikame kana. Right. Rather, remove this net from before kana. I don't want it here. V'ibayit ema hata mechama letzel hava. Right. Alternatively, you can just say that with a prop that they were taking it in from the sun to the shade, and that would be the additional problem with moving it. So you can either say he wanted it removed from before Kahana, he didn't want the net in front of Kahana, so in which case it is Tzorach Makomo, and that's why it would be Aser. Alternatively, we're talking about a case where it's Mechama Letzel, in which case you would not be allowed to move such a thing, Mechama Letzel, from the sun to the shade. Rav Mari Barachal Hava Lehahi Be Sadiyuta Be Shamsha. So Rav Mari Barachal has had these nice pillows that he left out in the sun. Atel kamed Rava. He came before Rava. Amarle ma'ul atil tilinhu. He says, can I move them out of the sun? There are pillows. Amarle shari. So he says, yeah, you're allowed to. It's klish melach tol heter. You're allowed to move, use pillows on Shabbat, so you can move it from the heat to the sun. Idli achrina. He says, oh, but wait, I have other ones. I don't really need these things. Chazul orchim. So Rava says, yeah, but you can still, these are still fit to use for guests. They have a theoretical purpose. Idli nami lorchim. He says, no, I have so many pillows I even have for guests. Amarle, galita adatcha kidiraba. So Rava says, you know, derech agav, I kind of noticed that, that you've revealed to me that you hold like Rabba. You hold like Rabba's shita, when it comes to whether you're allowed to move klesh malach to leheter, from mechama letzel, sevira lach. That's how you hold. Lechule amashare ledidcha aser. So I'm gonna tell you like this. The entire world, yeah, they'd be allowed to move those pillows, but you're not allowed to move those pillows. Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Chia, Bar Ashi, Amar Rav, Mechabdot Shel Milta, Mutar Talatalan. Brooms made of wool. You're allowed to move them. B'Shabbat, Avalo Shel Timara. You may not use brooms made of fig trees. Date trees, sorry. Lo. Rabbi Elazar, Omar Av Shel Timara. Rabbi Elazar says, no, even you're allowed to even move brooms made of date trees. B'mai askinan, right? So, what's the topic here that we're discussing? Ilem letzorach gufo letzorach makomo. If you want to ask, are you allowed to move these brooms letzorach gufo letzorach makomo? Baha lema rav shel tamra lo, right? So then, lema rav shel tamra lo. Would Rav really say that you're not allowed to move it? It's tzorach gufo tzorach makomo. You should be allowed to move it. Why would Rav say you're not allowed to move it? The ha rav ki rava svirle. Rav holds like rava. You should be always allowed to move something tzorach gufo tzorach makomo, even if it's a klisha malach to leiser. Right? Ela mecham letzel. Rather, we're talking about moving the broom that made of date trees, which are aser, klish malach to la'iser, right? We're talking about moving it mecham latzel. And that's why Rav, who holds like Rava, that klish malach to la'iser can be moved, under pretty much any circumstance, except mecham latzel cannot be moved, and that's why it says it's aser. Baha, lema rabbi Elazar, av shel timara. How do we explain Rabbi Elazar's shita where he says that moving it would be mutter? Are you telling me that Rabbi Elazar holds that you're allowed to move a klisha melachto leiser mecham letzel? We haven't seen that shita anywhere. How would we be mutter it? Leola mecham letzel ema v'chein ama Rabbi Elazar. Rather, no. This is how the teaching should have read that mecham letzel that you're not allowed to move it v'chein ama Rabbi Elazar. And Rabbi Elazar concurred with that shita that you may not move the broom mecham letzel it's klisha melachto leiser. New Mishnah. Kol hakelim nitalim b'Shabbat shivrehen nitalim nimahem. Right? All vessels can be moved on Shabbat, and the broken pieces of those vessels are allowed to be moved as well. B'vad sheyihu osin me'ein melacha. As long as those kelim can do some sort of, have some sort of a functional use to them. Shivre ariva l'chasot b'em et piachavi. If we're talking about a big bowl that broke, well then the piece that broke off has to be big enough to cover up the hole in a barrel, right? The top of a barrel. And then it's doing something functional, so you're allowed to move it. Shivrei zechuchi lechasod behem et piapach. And if it's broken pieces of glass, then you have to be able to cover up some sort of jar with them. So they're doing something functional, therefore they're not going to be mukta. Rabbi Yehuda amar, bilvad shu osin me'ein melachatan. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, they have to be doing something that is similar to their original malacha, not just functional for any reason, but if it started Shabbat, I'm going to take that back, right? Not just for any function, but rather a function that is similar to what the vessel was originally intended to do. Shivrei ariva latzuk latochan, right? If it's part of a big bowl, then it has to be enough the broken piece has to be enough that you can still pour something into it and it's going to retain it. It doesn't have to be a whole complete bowl, but it has to serve the primary function of a bowl. Latochan, mekafe v'shal zuchuchit letzorach letocha letzuk letocha on shemen. Right. But when it comes to a glass, has to be enough left that you're allowed to pour that you can be able to pour shemen oil into it and it would not spill out. Right. So it doesn't have to be whole and complete kli, but it has to do something similar to what it initially did. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Machloket Shenishbur Be'er Shabbat, Demar Savar Me'in Melachtan In Me'in Melacha Acheret. Lo, the Machloket exists from when it broke before Shabbat. That one holds that it has to do any Melacha, one holds that it has to do similar to what it originally did. Umar Savar Afilo In Melacha Acheret.
And the other one holds that even if it can do something akin to a different malacha, even though it's not its original intended purpose, nishbaru b'shabbat divrei akol mutarin. However, if it broke on Shabbat itself, everyone says that it that regardless it's going to be mutar hoyel muchanin al gabei avihen, right? Because when it started Shabbat, it was this piece of the kli was deemed fit because of its attachment to the larger kli itself. Motiv Rav Zutrai. Zutrai responded as follows: Masikin bekalim ve'en masikin b'shivra kalim. You're allowed to fuel a flame on Yom Tov, of course, with full vessels, but not with broken vessels. Dinishbaru emat. Now, when exactly did they break? Meaning, these broken vessels, you're not allowed to use a fuel of flame on Yom Tov. When did they break? Ilem dinishbaru me'erev Shabbat me'erev Yom Tov etzim ba'almaninu. Right? If they broke from erev Yom Tov, then aren't they just they're just like normal firewood that you're allowed to designate and use for Yom Tov? Why on earth would you not be allowed to use these things that broke Erev Shabbat? Are they any different than firewood that you designated for use on Yom Tov? Ela lav be Yom Tov. Rather, it must be that these Shivrei Kalim broke on Yom Tov, and you couldn't designate them before Yom Tov for the use of firewood. The Katani, and yet, what did we teach? Masikim Kalim and Masikim be Shivrei Kalim, right? That you're allowed to fuel the flame with vessels, but you're not allowed to fuel the flame with broken vessels. Now, that's very interesting, because that's exactly the opposite of what we suggested, that here, them breaking before Shabbat was more makil, right? If they broke before Shabbat, you're obviously allowed to use the Shivrei Kalim. They broke on Shabbat, though, you are not allowed to use the Shivrei Kalim, as opposed to what we suggested earlier, which if they broke before Shabbat, that was less helpful for you. If they broke on Shabbat, you're definitely allowed to use them. Ela'id marachid mar, rather, we have to modify what we said originally. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, machloket shenishbaru b'Shabbat. Right? The machloket is when they broke on Shabbat. A machloket exists when they broke on Shabbat. The Mar Savar Muchan Hu, Mar Savar Nolad Hu. That one says it's Muchan. It's already considered useful, functional, Kli, because it had started Shabbat that way. And the other one says, no, this broken piece is considered a new entity. Right? And that's why we distinguish between whether it's really a new entity because it cannot do the thing that it used to do, or whether it's not a new entity because it can still basically do the thing that it used to do. Whereas the first Shita that says that it's considered muchan means this piece, no matter what it does, as long as it's still moderately functional, is allowed to be used on Shabbat. Aval me'erev Shabbat divrei hakol mutar, right? But if they broke on erev Shabbat, that's when everyone agrees to be mutar. Hoyel v'uchnu l'malacha mibod yom, right? Because if they broke from erev Shabbat, then before Shabbat, you're allowed to designate that broken piece for whatever function that you want it to be, right? In which case, that would be mutar. So we have to really switch it, and it's before Shabbat that everyone agrees that it's going to be mutar. And on Shabbat, if it breaks, you're going to have the machloket as to whether or not it can be used for the same purpose or just any purpose at all. Tani. So one Tana taught that you're allowed to fuel a fire with vessels, but not with broken vessels. Another Tana taught that just like you're allowed to fuel a flame with whole vessels, you're allowed to fuel a flame with broken vessels. And the third Tana taught as follows: Ein masikin lo bekelim velo b'shivrei kelim. That you can't fuel a fire not with full vessels and not with broken vessels. You're not allowed to do it with any of them. How Rabbi Yehuda, how Rabbi Shimon, how Rabbi Chemya, right? And that's we can explain it as being one is like Rabbi Yehuda, one is like Rabbi Shimon, and one is like Rabbi Chemya. Amar Rav Nachman, hani livne de ishtur mibinyana share letitzelinu nechazu lemizga alayhu. Right? These big stones that were left over from a building project. You're allowed to move them because they're clearly fit to sit on them. Sharginu vadai aktinu. However, if you arrange them in a way that you would normally arrange bricks for a new building project, then they're clearly their mukta. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, cheres ketana mutala tatal b'chatzer. Right? A small piece of cheres, small piece of earthenware, you're allowed to move it around in a chatzer, aval b'karmelite lo, but not in a karmelite, right? Because a small piece of cheres, presumably it has a function in a private courtyard, but what's its function? We're talking about mukta here, we're not talking about hotza'ah, right? What is the function of a small piece of cheres in a karmelite, right? I understand what a small vessel has to do with in a courtyard. It has a lot of theoretical functions, but in a karmelite, it doesn't really have a lot of functions. Karmelite's just an alleyway, what are you going to do with it there? So it's going to be mukta because there's no function there. Rav Nachman didei amar afilu b'karmelit, and then Rav Nachman says no. Even in a karmelit, it's allowed to be moved. Seemingly, it would have some functions there. Al Rishut Rabim lo, but in a public domain, Rishut Rabim, it has no no likely function. V'Rava Amar Afilu B'Shut Rabim, and Rava says even Shut Rabim, it's going to have a couple of practical functions in there. And you're allowed to carry it around, and it's not going to be considered mukta. The Azda Rava Latame, and clearly Rava holds, Rava follows his own line of thinking here. The Rava Hava Ka'azil Berikta Did Mechoza, because when Rava was walking in a public domain in Mechoza, Itvase Masane Tina, right? His shoes became very dirty. Atashame Shakil Chaspa, and then his assistant came and took a broken piece of pottery, become chaperle, and he cleaned off his shoes. Rabu be Rabbanan Kala, and the Rabbanan protested. They raised their voices toward him. Amar lo mistia de lo gemiri migmar nami migmari. Right? So he says, it's not enough. So Rabba responded to the Rabbanan who protested him. It's not enough that you didn't learn properly, but now you're teaching other people improperly. Says, if this broken vessel would have been fit for use in a chaser, then I consider it like a proper kli. I consider it a proper vessel, right? And here it's still clearly fit for me. So why? Just because I'm in a Rishut HaRabim, who cares? Just if this vessel was fit for me in a chaser, then and it's still fit for me now, I'm clearly allowed to use it, and that is the pshat. Clearly, it has some sort of function for Rava, and therefore he still had to use it, and that's why Rava clearly follows his own line of thinking here when he says that a vessel is fit for use even in Rishut HaRabim.